Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Backstage Pass, your VIP all access to the 1-2 family. I'm Raven McMinn, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, the resident wizard of all things 1-2, Mr. Jay Barville. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Raven. How are you doing today?
Really good. Really good. Today's show.
Glad to hear it.
The intention of the show is to provide you guys with the the intention of the show is to provide you guys with an opportunity to get to know the host of 1-2 and the advisors at 1-2 Listen on a more personal and intimate level. So feel free to utilize our Facebook chat room. It's a private chat room, and you can post questions or leave comments for them during the show.
You can do that by going over to 1-2radio.com. That's the number 1-2radio.com. Click on the chat button there on the left-hand side of the screen. That opens up a brand new window. It is a private Facebook group. Send over an invitation if this is your first time, and we'll do what we can to get you approved while we're live on the air. Once you're in, you can see our banner there at the top of the page, and in the comments section is where you can join us in the conversation. Raven, do we have any announcements?
Yes, we do. Coming up this Friday is the Moon Project that we do, and to get registered for that, you can go to 12academy.com. We're going to be talking about the new moon in Aquarius.
Love it. I was ahead of the game yesterday when I was telling everybody it was the new moon in Pisces.
That's next month, yes.
I was jumping a month.
That's okay. We're coming up with the sun coming into Pisces here really soon. So, it gets confusing, you know.
It does. It can. That's why we have
it can.
Some amazing world-class astrologers, one of them being our guest today.
Yes. It's coming on. We have Jamie Dawn in the hot seat. Jamie's a 1-2 psychic advisor over at 1-2 Listen and a 1-2 radio host. Her show is on Mondays now at 9 Pacific time.
Do I have that 11, right? It's 11 a.m. Pacific.
11 a.m. Pacific time. So welcome back to Backstage Pass. Jamie, come on in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you guys.
We're very excited to
have
you back.
How are you this morning?
You know,
indeed.
Here's an interesting thing. I'm saying this tongue in cheek. I am well. And then you could ask me how I really am, and I'm okay. You know how often we just gotta go, how, you know, it's the standard, how are you? But really, mm-hmm. How are you? That is, the African tradition, there's a few tribes, villagers, that is their greeting. It's not, how are you? It's like, really, how are you? So.
Interesting. Yeah. What is going on with all this energy?
It
I
definitely
can tell
feels
you, it's
like
been wackadoodle.
Yeah, like an extra amount of intensity, like an extra amount of chaos flying around. Do you have any, is there anything astrologically that's going on that kind of would explain that?
Sure. I mean, we, of course, the big talk of the town is Pluto and Aquarius now, of course. But it also, we've got a lot of other Aquarian influence with Mercury now in Aquarius. And then we're going to have Venus and Mars moving into Aquarius in another week. And the new moon, of course, tomorrow being in Aquarius, making squares to Jupiter and Uranus. And so these squares are tension points. And of course, Pluto is our planet of power and the Roto-Rooter transformation, death, rebirth. And so it's creating chaos. And, you know, it's one of those things that oftentimes the chaos is external, but it stirs up a lot of the internal stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought I was, you know, being a Capricorn, I'm going to have a relief from the influence of Pluto for a while since it moved out of my sign and into Aquarius. And then Oliver was saying the same thing. Just hasn't let up. It's just no relief in sight.
Well, you know, as I like to say, it's life, you know. I don't know that it really is a particular sign that gets maybe more influence than most, but I mean, we're all humans that are going to feel the different shifts that are happening. And think about this, you know, we're in an age of great progress, and, you know, obviously progress has been going on for a long time, but I mean, things are moving so fast, it's hard to keep up sometimes. And then it stirs up all of those internal questions of where do I fit in? What purpose do I have? You know, because as human beings, we need a purpose. And if that's taken from us, it gets very discombobulating.
That's a
What is
I
the
didn't Oh, go ahead, Raven.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say I didn't quite think of it that way with our purpose changing or the kind of underlying purpose changing and that being the cause of so much discomfort and also just bringing up all that like internal chaos. Like being the thing that brings it up for another look, like another
Yeah.
reworking.
Well, you know, one of the questions I like to ask people is what gets you out of bed in the morning? You know, what really fires you up and gets you out of bed? And even if it's not fired up, it's like, well, I get out of bed because I have a job and I need to pay bills. Okay, well, right now that's the purpose, if you will. But if you're really fueled by something, right? What's your passion? What's your purpose? And then, you know, that gets me excited and get out of bed. And, you know, I have to say that doing the intuitive work and astrological work and writing and learning about new things, discovering new things, those are the kind of things that get me out of bed in the morning.
I have 10 hungry cats that get me out of bed every morning.
Your purpose is to take care of those babies then. I mean, think about that, Raven. If you didn't have your cats, if you didn't have animals, then what would your purpose be, right? Some people, I'm not saying that is your purpose, but some people feel that way, right? Their purpose is to caretake, or their purpose is to go to an office, or their purpose is to, you know, rake leaves, whatever, to do something. And if that's taken away from them because we have a tendency to over-identify with what we do, then we're lost. We feel lost. We feel useless. I think that's one of the things with elderly is that very often you hit those late years where, you know, they're not doing, air quote, anything, and they feel invaluable.
Yeah, I witnessed that with my grandma.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that are important. One of the things with so as some people know, I am a staff director for a nonprofit called Nine Gates Mystery School, and we have some elderly staff that used to staff regularly, and they've stepped away because of it's a physical job as much as it's a spiritual and energetic job, and when they stepped away from, they said we really can't staff anymore because our bodies just can't handle it. We still want to be of use. And it's like you can still be useful by holding space, by energetically connecting with the class and feeling and energizing it, you know. And I think that's something that I just want to invite all the listeners to be reminded of is that you matter because you have breath and that you can do something just with intention. We know that we can influence an energy field with our attention because where attention goes, energy flows.
It's so true.
So, I want to ask, what is a suggestion for the folks that are feeling like their life has been completely turned upside down right now by this, whether it's the astrology or just what happens to be going on in their life? But what could be some helpful ways to get back to being grounded, get back to being more balanced or in that observer kind of position? Do you have any advice, and specifically kind of from this place of what we're facing astrologically?
Sure. So the practical tool is getting grounded. And what's the first and easiest accessible way of getting grounded is to come back to our breath, because the breath is the one thing in the body that we can witness and that we can experience. And so coming back to the body and grounded, being grounded is being fully present and being connected to ourselves and saying, I have a right to be here. And I have a right to be in this body. My soul, my spirit incarnated and chose this moment in time in this body, I matter. And I think on an energetic level, don't lose hope because just like it was funny, I was talking to one of my girlfriends this morning who just a month and a half ago, she called me pretty distraught. And she was I mean, she said literally, if I didn't have my kids, I probably would jump off of the building. She was just in that space, you know. And I reminded her, I was like, you know, you will get through this because you always do. And this is a cycle. This is a moment in time. Trust the process. And sure enough, when I talked to her this morning, she's like, I'm in such a better place. And, you know, I got resourceful and all this sort of thing. And I said, you know, that reminds me, the last month and a half has been pretty wackadoodle. And for me, it has showed up in a scarcity mindset. And that is not something that I embrace, but it is part of the human experience. And but what the mindset did is, so instead of pushing it away, I was trying to integrate it. How is this serving me? How can I make use of this? And so what showed up for me was creativity. I got resourceful. I started tapping into things that I haven't done in a long time, or I allowed the spaciousness to be there and let certain things just drop in. Like I'm working with the angels again. I haven't worked one-on-one with the angels in a long time. I mean, I invoke the angels when I do my invocation every morning, but as far as like literally sitting down and working with individual archangels, I started doing that again, and I'm noticing a shift in my energy. So long answer to your question, Jay, but there's many opportunities for us. I think that's the thing, is that every wobble in the force creates an opportunity to come back to ground.
I love that. Well, and I also love
I
that,
love that.
yeah, that idea of just being able to know that we can look at life from a fresh perspective, because we just never know when something is gonna like shift or give another direction. Or like, for example, your specific example of talking to the angels again, where you know, it wasn't like you were trying to do that. It wasn't like it was on your radar. It just started happening again. And where if we're all down in the dumps and really getting stuck into more of a victim mentality, we might miss what spirit or our higher self or our guides are trying to tell us, or give us like a wisdom about that might be different about our situation, but we're so heavy in the victim. My point to sharing that is it's so important to let that go in one way, shape, or form or another, and come back to yourself to let in this new stuff, because there is new stuff. There is new stuff, and you're talking about it, and I know other people are experiencing it. This is
You
just
know,
another one
Jay,
of the. Go ahead.
yeah, I was just say that one of the other things that we're in the middle of the chaos, or we feel like we're being swept up in the emotional storm or the mental storm, is come back to what brings you comfort. I know with the Aquarian energy, it's all about breaking out of our comfort zones and stretching ourselves and all that. But before we can do that, come back to what's comfortable for you first, and then how do you do it differently? So I'll use the angels, for example. Years ago, when I first started my intuitive work, I was working with a beautiful teacher, and she was the one that she said, I've got this 365 days of working with the angels and a book. Let's go through it. It was like daily meditations and stuff like that. And we did that for an entire year, every single day. Well, working with the angels then, that was my experience. Now working with them, it's a different experience. So I went back to what I was comfortable with, which was angels, but I'm working with them differently. So I just offer that as another tool for anybody who is feeling wobbly right now.
Thank you for that. No, and I feel like we all need that sometimes, that reminder, so we don't get stuck into that heavier thinking that can just keep us limited where we are.
I can't watch the news. And I used to get little snippets of some of the subscriptions that I have on YouTube, and that would just be my news. And it's like, I can't even watch that anymore. It's just.
I get it. There's a lot of people that aren't able to do it, and I couldn't do it for years. And my partner is a first grade school teacher, and so he has to watch the news. Plus, we're avid skiers on the weekends, and so you know he has to watch for the weather and stuff like that. But anyways, he very much likes the news at night, and so you know to be with him, spend time with him, I'll watch it. And I've started doing a practice. I mean, I've done the practice of Tonglin for years, but I start doing Tonglin when I am watching the news, because I do it for myself, number one, and then also for all the tragedies that you hear that are out there, the politics that are going on, that sort of thing. So I use it as a tool for my spiritual practice.
What is this, Tonglin? What is that?
Yeah, so Pema Chodra did a lot of work around it and talk with it. She's a Buddhist monk and wrote when a couple of books, one of them, When Things Fall Apart. If you haven't read it, it's a great
I have
book.
that book. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so Pema Chodra, she talks about the practice of Tonglin. She actually brought it from the Buddhist tradition because it was one of the sacred traditions that they didn't allow in the Western world or outside the Buddhist community for a long time. So, anyways, and at Nine Gates, we actually practice Tonglin as well as part of our training. So, Tonglin is where you are first getting grounded and then using the heart, because the heart is like the Vajra, the diamond, it's unbreakable. And so, what you do is you're breathing in the pain and suffering of yourself, of another, of the world through the heart space where it is the cremation ground. It gets alchemized. To think of it like Pluto, you know, it's that death and rebirth that happens. And so, you breathe in all that pain and suffering, you exhale the antidote. So if I'm breathing in all the distress in Israel and the Middle East and Gaza and all that that's happening, and all those people who have lost homes and hope, then I'm breathing that in through the heart, alchemizing it with the heart, and exhaling peace, exhaling love, exhaling comfort, exhaling whatever the antidote might be to what I may be experiencing or they may be experiencing.
How do you breathe in through the heart?
Intention, because as you know, I practice and I it's a felt sense in the body. So attention, where attention goes, energy flows, right? So if I put my attention on my breath and I send the breath down to my feet and I start to feel my feet connecting to Mother Earth, I might feel a tingling in my feet. I might feel heat. I mean, it comes in some form of sensation, right? And so the same thing with the heart. And that's why I say before practicing Tonglin, you get grounded. You get in the body and then placing the attention at the heart space and allow the heart to open and knowing, but you have to stabilize, you have to ground because an open, you cannot practice in the heart from a place with that is stabilized if you're not grounded. So, and you
Okay.
have to feel safe in your body. So those two go together. And so then you breathe in through the heart and the attention is in the heart and breathe out through the heart.
Okay. I've heard Greg Braden talk about this technique, and I never understood how to breathe in through my heart. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a visual as much as I'm a kinesthetic and audio, and so I use a vision. I mean, I close my eyes because it invites the mind into stillness, and then with my intention, I will breathe the energy from the earth all the way through the root up into my heart, and then that's and it's from this heart field. I expand the heart field, and it has its, you know, heart math has done a lot of work on the heart field, and I'll expand it out. And then it's almost like it breathes itself many times when I'm doing this. But again, I'm taking the energy of pain and suffering, and I'm pulling it into that heart space where it gets alchemized, and then breathing it back out, sending it back out from the heart space.
You said something that I find interesting is that the heart is unbreakable. And yet
It's
in
like
our society we have so many like songs and when you're sad about the one you love, you have a fight with your special person, you feel like your heart is broken.
I find it fascinating that we equate heartbreak with the heart because we think that our emotions are stored in the heart and they're really stored in the belly and solar plexus. And yes, I mean if our heart is again not stabilized, then we're going to process a lot of information and experiences through the ego. And we think it's our heart that is breaking. It's really our expectations. And you know, The phrase that you have my heart, it's like, you can't have my heart. That's my heart. I want you, this is my philosophy on relationships, right? It's like, no. You keep your heart, I'm gonna keep mine. Let's blend them. Let's create a resonant field where the two of us can now dance in this beautiful energy together with our hearts. Now we've got your heart, my heart, and this energy of heart called relationship. And it has its own heart.
That is beautiful. Yeah, and a much much better way to do things. Yeah, they always we always say things like, I give you my heart. You have my heart. My heart in your hands or whatever. And what a distortion.
It can be very distorted. The heart is the organ of perception. And that's why I say if we're not grounded, and then also if we're not safe in our bodies, you think of our second chakras where safety and trust come in, and community, connection, creativity, all of that is in that second chakra and the belly center. And then our third chakra, our solar plexus, is our ego, is our present personality. Well, you blend, let's just say that you're not grounded. What's going to happen to the emotions when they get stirred up from the solar plexus? Well, I'm going to lash out. I'm going to break down. I'm going to hurt myself or someone else, right? Because I'm acting out of ego, and my heart's not stabilized because it doesn't feel safe, so it's going to close. I can't truly be open-hearted if I don't feel safe, if I don't have connection with my truth. And then you keep moving through the energy fields in the body and the human spirit, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm about to communicate. Here's my throat chakra. Well, if I don't have the stability of being grounded and that open heart, what do you think I'm going to communicate? And now our words become weapons, right?
Yeah. You know how they
So,
always say, think with your heart, not your head. So really we need to be thinking more in the gut.
well, that's an interesting concept too, because they're now finding a lot of research, scientific research, about your gut health affects your brain health. Isn't that
It's like our
interesting?
second brain is another way I've heard it described.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a
Everybody's heard
question.
that phrase, the gut feeling. I had a gut feeling about that. Yeah.
That brings up an interesting question for me because something I see a lot in my own work with people is, and for myself, is this idea that there's these different parts of us, like our personality, our inner child, or our higher self. And the way I see it is them all having a voice, and then I'm the observer in the middle having to like look at that information that's coming at me and then decide what am I going to do with it? How am I going to move or choose? How do you see that? Like that idea of these different parts of us speaking back to us or talking back to us and like how to navigate that. Not from like a schizophrenic kind of place, but from a deciphering from like your gut versus your heart or versus your head, like that kind of thing.
I'll tell you, sometimes I do th think I'm schizophrenic because sometimes all of them are talking at once. I think that's a beautiful exploration because, the human is so complex, just like relationships are complex, just like life is complex. We want black and white because we want security. We want this false sense of control, if you will. It's like, well, if this, then that. And I grew up in a very with a very authoritarian as a parent who was always, it's either this or that, my way or the highway kind of thing. And I was like, that's not the way life works, So we know that. And so how do you decipher when they're all talking at once? I say pick one. Make a decision, you'll adjust along the way kind of thing. So you pick one, and let's say it's inner child. Well, you sit with that inner child and you nurture, you talk to it, and you go, wait a minute, that really doesn't have as much charge or trigger for me as maybe the higher self. Let me go visit with my higher self. and see what that has. And there might be a greater charge. And when I say charge, I mean a sensation. I can't emphasize enough, come back to the body. It is the vehicle that we chose for our spirit to communicate with us. And so if you're let's say meditating into the higher self or talking to your higher self, and your body starts to vibrate or it starts to calm or it starts to get excited or whatever the sensations of the body might be, okay, stay with it, work with it. If it's inner child and you're weeping and you're feeling more empowered or you're feeling protective, whatever, okay, go with it, you know? So I think that's one of the things that is a falsification also. There's no such thing as multitasking. Can you bring all of them into a conference room together? Sure. But you're only going to be able to have one conversation at a time and hear one thing at a time to be effective.
Very, that's powerful. Powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
I mean, again, I think I have fallen more in love with the human experience over the last few years than ever before. And it's mostly because I stopped taking it so seriously.
That's profound.
I mean, when I'm caught up in a moment, when I'm caught up in my own mind and schizophrenia and paranoia, whatever, and despair, yeah, I go into that place of like, I hate being human. But then I remind myself, wait a minute, this is just a blip on the map. You think about it, our average lifespan is 70 years. 70 years. How many summers is that, right? And you kind of look at that, you go, wow, 70 summers. I only have maybe, if I'm lucky, 20 more summers left. I'm gonna be 50 this summer. It's like, wow, you put that into perspective. Why do I want to take what's happening to me so seriously?
And perspective, that's a big one. I feel we, like our circumstances can be unchanged, but our perception can change and we can feel completely different about something. And I don't feel like we use that enough in our life, like that ability to make a paradigm shift. Do you have any advice about that idea of being able to kind of turn on a dime when it comes to our perspective and allowing ourselves to see things differently from like our mental mind, or just even opening up our mental mind, for example, and being able to like have our intuition bring in something so much bigger.
Yeah, I love that, Jay. You know, as we say, perception creates our reality, right? So what we see, we believe to be true or real. Well, what if I changed the, I used to joke my kids all the time when about I said, yeah, it's a red pen, but if I said it was blue, if I raised you thinking that that red pen was blue, you would say it was blue. It's perspective. How do you change it? It's a choice. And it is one of those things where that's why we have practices. I'm a big proponent on training the mind as much as training the body. And so in doing so, it allows me to be able to shift quicker. I can't say I always shift on a dime, but it allows me to move quicker than I did before because I have the practices, the tools. You know, I'll use Tonglen again as an example, that if I see someone in pain, then in let's just say I remember going to the hospital and sitting with someone who was going through a chemo treatment, and sitting there with everybody else who was going through their treatments as well, all the fears and the worries and the pains and all that, and practicing Tonglen, and it didn't. It didn't keep me from worrying about the individual I was with. It didn't keep me from not feeling sadness around other people's pain. It allowed me to integrate it and not hold on to it. So again, you know, how do you shift your perspective? It's a choice and it's a practice. And you're not going to get it right every time. For me, also, perspective changes if I get out of my own way. I can really get myself wrapped around the axle when I spend too much time alone and I think alone and I'm not connecting with others. So I will get out of the house, go to the gym, go for a walk, call somebody, of course, doing my work, connecting with others, and being in session with them is my greatest joy. And I love that's a big way to get out of my own way and change perspective, putting myself in somebody else's shoes. Those are just some other ways, yeah.
Yeah, I find if I spend too much time alone, when you live alone, I have to get out and go do something, go to the grocery store or just call somebody, because you can really get wrapped up in your head and stuck there. And I have to be mindful of that on a regular basis.
I think the hardest part with perspective is, for me, I'm a little bit more the Pollyanna person, where I tend to look at the glass half full more than half empty. And it can create a bit of false hope at times, or it can create this fake it till you make it kind of scenario on a more often than not basis. And so I have to be careful of that. I had actually called my dad a couple weeks ago when I was just feeling really down and out, and I was like, "Dad, I just need to hear your voice." And of course, I'm all emotional and stuff. And he goes, "Well, you know me, I'm going to be the realist." I said, "I don't need you to be a realist right now. What I need right now is for you just to tell me it's going to be okay." And that You know, because reality changes constantly. We know that. So you go back to perspective is think about how quickly things change. I look around like my neighborhood, and I moved to Reno 4 years ago, and there was hardly anything out here. And now there's thousands of new apartments going in. They're going to put a Costco down the road. I mean, I'm just like, in 4 years' time, this entire reality, my reality, has changed.
That's a great inspiration for anybody that's feeling stuck or like, oh, is this ever gonna change? And hopefully this is a great reminder that if that is also the case, that the first key to the change is being able to jump outside of ourselves to be able to see it from another perspective or see it from someone else's eyes. And not just stay in our overthinking mind and let that overtake us. And that practice, as hard as it is worth it. And as much as we want to not have to do it, I know I've tried to not have to deal with it, but that doesn't work either. But I know from my own experience in doing the practice, you do get somewhere. And that's what I'm hearing in what you're sharing, Jamie, and same with you, Raven. So to anyone that is feeling stuck, hopefully this is an inspiration to you to keep going, to keep trying, to keep chipping away, and working with yourself.
Absolutely. I love that. And it's perfect for the Aquarian energy we're in right now, because we're looking at our comfort zones, we're looking at where we've been too complacent, status quo, whatever, and we're trying to break free of it. And changing our perspective is one of the first ways to break free of old conditioned patterns that no longer serve us.
What made you want to move to Reno?
So, as I mentioned, I'm a staff director for Nine Gates Mystery School, and they're based in California. And so in 2012, when I went through as a student, I was still living back east, and that's where I was born and raised, and I raised my kids on the East Coast. And I'm a pretty big traveler. I mean, I've traveled quite a bit throughout my life, but when I started traveling back and forth between the East and West Coast for the mystery school to staff and all of that, I kept finding myself expansive, creative, resonating. My body was alive out west. And so in 2018, before I went to Egypt, I had looked at my, at that time, husband, or I was married, and I looked at him and I just said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm depressed. My kids are grown now. They don't need me like they used to. And I don't feel alive. I feel very heavy here on the East Coast, and I always have. But the East Coast was, for me, was dutiful. I needed to fulfill my duties as a mom and as a wife and, all that sort of thing. And luckily, this gentleman, this husband of mine, he was spiritually sound enough, mentally, spiritually sound enough to have a very amicable divorce. And I mean, it wasn't without its sadness to it because, you know, any breakup isn't easy. But he even drove across country with me when I moved. And yeah. And so, anyways, drove across country. The long story, I won't go into all the details, but I went to Egypt in November, December of 2018. And that was with the mystery school. And at that time, I didn't know where I was going to stay. I have friends who live in California, so I could stay at their cottage in the back of their house and stuff. But one lady in an energy group that they belong to had a sublease, a pl her place to sublease for 3 months in Sebastopol, which is a very cool little town. If anybody hasn't been, there's Bodega Bay area, Sonoma County. And anyway, so I talked to her actually on the boat on the Nile a week before I got back from Egypt. And by the time I got home from Egypt, I had secured the place. So packed up, moved out west in January of 2019, and ended up staying in Sebastopol for 6 months. And then series of events happened in 2019 that I was going back east to west coast, all that sort of thing. And then in December of 2019, same set of friends that I was staying with said, "Have you considered Reno?" I was like, "No." They were like, "We have family there that really loves it." So I was like, "All right, I'll explore it." Well, right after, her name is Jan, my friend Jan. Right after Jan had put me onto it, I had a dream, a vision of the place that I live in right now. And so when I reached out and tried to see if this place was available, all that, the landlord was like, "Sorry, you know, I've already rented it out." I was like, "Okay." And 2 days later, she comes back. She goes, "Actually, that contract fell through if you want to come look at it." It was the very first place that I looked at. And I said, "I'd like the application." And the next day, I secured my location here in Reno. And the thing was, when I drove into this place, too, like I said, there's hardly anything around. I really like that I'm on the south side. And when I drove in, there was a big flashing sign that said, "Caution, wild horses on the road." And my body lit up. I mean, when I drove through the valley at Reno, I was just so alive. I saw a bald eagle. I'd never seen a live bald eagle except at the zoo. Bald eagle on the side of the road, right? It was like all the signs, you know. We always joke about how the universe just kind of throws these 2x4s against you with signs. So, anyways, when all my life growing up, my father's labeled me as a wild horse. And he's like, "Good luck. I hope somebody can tame you one day," you know?
Love
So when I saw that sign, I was like,
Yeah,
I'm
you're
home.
home.
So
Awesome.
yeah, it's been a love affair ever since.
That's
So I was
incredible.
wondering if through astrology you did one of those astrocartography charts, and
Of
that's maybe
course.
how you picked Reno or where.
No, it's not actually. I did do the astrocartography, and my Sun and Mercury line run through Reno, which is, you know, it's great for socializing, writing, and energizing the mind, that sort of thing. I even talked with a fellow astrocartographer because astrocartography is not my forte. But I actually talked to an astrologer who does astrocartography as a profession, and they said that, where was it? Minnesota was the best. I was like, "Fuck no."
Minnesota,
Sorry to
that's
anybody for
interesting.
anybody from Minnesota, but that is not my speed.
Don't think I can handle the winter.
No, exactly. Exactly. But it's funny because, as most people know, Oliver is one of my best friends in the whole world and brother from another mother. And so when I got here, when the first day that it snowed, I talked to him and I was like, "Oh my God, Oliver, it's snowing." He goes, "Where's Jamie? Where did she go? Where's my best friend?" Because he knew I took pictures. So, and I love them here. See, and again, it goes back to where you are, your environment really does play a part in your overall mental health, emotional health, well-being, all of that. So I'll offer this, anybody's listening. If you're feeling exhausted and downtrodden, depressed, heavy, things are, you're fighting an uphill battle constantly, maybe you check into your environment. I realize that it costs money to move and it's a big adjustment and all of that sort of thing. So if you're not ready to make a move, go travel somewhere that you feel called and notice if you feel more connected, if you feel more alive, if there's something there, because it may indicate that you're not in the right environment for you.
Yeah, I can tell. This where I'm at now is better than where I came from, than my hometown. I can't hardly stand to go back home. There's like a heaviness that I'm from a town that's like 70 miles north of Indianapolis, Indiana.
What
And
town?
pardon me,
What town is it?
Peru, it's called
Oh yeah,
Peru.
that's, my
It's a
brother
little.
was born there.
Oh, really? Oh my
Yeah.
God. That little town? Holy cow.
That's a whole nother story.
When I get out just outside of St. Louis or Indianapolis, headed north, there is a heaviness that literally I can physically feel it. And it just gets worse the closer I get. And by the time I'm there, I am totally drained. I'm in a shitty mood. I got nothing to give anybody. I can barely take care of my own and handle my own. Yeah, and it just, and then I look forward to leaving. Although, my parents would really like me to come visit more often, but it is just such a physically, emotionally, and spiritually taxing event to go there. It's just
That's how I
terrible.
feel. That's how I feel back east. You know, it just feels, I jokingly say the minute I cross into across the Rockies back east, I start having an allergic reaction.
It's like
Yeah.
that. It is like that.
Yeah. And it's no offense to people in the East Coast because believe me, it serves them and they love it. But you know, I just know how I feel, and I want to be the best version of me. And this is the best version of me. That back east is not. So, and my daughter and her husband just moved out here in November, and I check in with them regularly. How are you guys doing? Because they went through a lot of trauma and stuff when they were back east. And they're like, wow, our nervous system is so much calmer. And we can actually do some deep healing while we're here. And you know, they're about 20 minutes away in the foothills, more towards California. And my son-in-law was like, I just love being able to wake up, walk out my front door, and there's mountains everywhere that I can go hike. You know? So.
Colorado is one of my places where I feel really good. And I got a chance to go to the West Coast this last year, to California, and I felt completely different. And that heaviness was gone. My sinuses cleared up right away. I physically felt better. So for those of you who don't know what astrocartography is, it is a way of looking at your astrology chart to determine the best places for you to live. And it's kind of broken down between in it help me out here, Jamie. Is it your finances? They break it apart like into five different categories.
Yeah, it's like five pillars, five
Romance.
categories. Your typical, your well-being, your spiritual, your financial, your career, and your love life.
And they put it on like a point scale, right? And they look at you say the Mercury and the Sun line.
For me, Mercury Sun runs through Reno, you know, but my Jupiter line runs through Hawaii. So, you know, it's like I've never been to Hawaii actually. I'm closer now than I was on the East Coast. I should go. And I actually have a teacher, a mystery school teacher that lives there. I have friends that live there. I should go. I just haven't yet.
Yeah, go for a visit.
It is a beautiful place
Hello.
to check out.
Yeah, I hear that. But I mean, again, it goes back to where your body tells you are most connected to your true self, where you feel alive. And I can share this because Oliver shared it on air, and he and I talked about it on air with my show and his show and stuff. But I mean, he lives in Mexico, and I actually we looked at his astrocartography, and his Jupiter line runs right through where he lives. So he's a happy camper.
Yes, when he's not nearly drowning. He told us about
Exactly.
that.
Exactly.
He was on last week. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is that my Pluto line runs right through Denver, but I love Colorado. And it's interesting because Pluto gets such a bad rap about everybody's like, oh God, Pluto. And it's like, no. Pluto's transformational. That's not a bad thing unless you're resistant to change, you know? But there's some power behind it. If you embrace that change, if you embrace the, again, it goes back to integration. You know, Pluto brings out the shadow, not to punish us, but remember, we can't have light without shadow. So it brings out that shadow so that we can integrate it and make it useful. And but as I say, better the devil you know than the one you don't. So let's dance, you know? Let's dance with this shadow work. Anyways, I just find it fascinating because, you know, here at One Two Listen, you know, we are, I'll say, headquartered at Colorado. And Pluto, for me, having the Pluto line there is powerful. And I love being part of the One Two family. So I've
So
been
I've got a
here
question.
13 years.
If you were to move to Colorado, would you constantly be in a state of transformation, though? It was
Most
just back
likely.
onto something new, just constantly transforming because
Yeah,
of your Pluto line being there.
most likely. And again, it goes back to the human experience. We always have a choice, you know? Like when Jay was asking, you know, which modality or which energy do you work with? Well, you got a choice, pick one, you know? So I have a choice. I could choose to go back east where my Saturn Moon line runs. So I find it fascinating how it correlates, you know, because that Saturn Moon, when they're together, it can be heavy, depressive, dutiful. There's some moments where it can also be healing in many ways. It's one of those things that there's a, I'll call it a karmic debt that needs to be paid, if you will, when you have that Saturn Moon together. But I feel like I fulfilled that debt. So I don't want to live back east again.
So, Jamie, can you tell everybody, because we're getting towards the latter half of the show, where, excuse me, I'm losing my voice all of a sudden, where everybody can find you. Also, how can people work with you?
Yeah, lovely. You can find me at 12listen.com, and I'm got my radio show at 12 Radio on Mondays at 11 a.m. I'm so happy to be back. And you can find me at jamiedawn.com. And I'm going to be releasing, I've been working on some courses that I'm going to be putting on 12 Academy as well. And yeah, I have my YouTube channel where I give my celestial wisdom energy update, astrological update every week. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is that even though we can talk astrology all day long and it's fun, and if you like learning about it and glyphs and the study of the patterns and putting a language to it, but the thing that is the strongest and my foundation is my psychic intuitive work. So.
So it's like I swear I had a question that came into my mind as you were talking, and then it like rushed right on out. Oh, it came back. So one question I have that I feel new entrepreneurs or folks that are still in corporate America that want to jump into the entrepreneur space, there's this idea that like almost as if we just build the business and all these different pieces, and they all happen at once. Do you have any advice of like your process and how it's been like building that versus and like how to calm that part of your mind that might have wanted it to happen faster than it did? Do you have anything to say about that part?
That's a great question. So it's unique for every individual. It takes time. I think that's the thing we can get very consternated over is this whole time thing and wanting the immediate fix, if you will, or the instant success. It takes a lot of work, exposure, and dedication to your practice. So if this is some, again, it goes back to what Simon Sinek coined, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. I know that I don't do my work for the money. I have bills to pay, so I have to charge. But I do it because I love it, because I believe in it, because I'm good at it, and because this is something that gets me out of bed every day. And I think that's the thing. If you're striking out, you're hanging your shingle, as they say, then let it be something that you're passionate about, because people can get behind that. And not everybody's going to resonate either. Don't worry about that. You want the right people. You want those who are in alignment with your values. Don't compromise your values, or you won't sleep at night. So there's a whole process involved with it. But as I often coach a lot of my clients on, is you got to get your infrastructure, your foundation secure first. So get yourself in your body, get all the tools you need in order for you to be successful. Set yourself up first for success, then you can help others.
Awesome. Thank you for that. That is definitely very helpful. And for anybody that needs that, you can have that on record that you can listen to that. Because I think we all sometimes get into to these little places. Our mind can get us into a twist. And it is so helpful to hear a grounded, practical approach that can just remind us, like, oh, yeah, like, I am not as, it's not as bad as I think, or, you know, I'm actually making some progress, even though it's slow, but it's still progress.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
back. I don't know if you noticed, I dropped off the call.
Oh, we were just, I was busy asking Jamie a question,
Oh,
and
good.
since you were gone, do you have a final question you want to ask Jamie before we send her off into, or send us all off into the 1-2 radio?
A cat
Land.
came across my laptop and shut the whole thing down. I lost everything.
They're like, it's time for the show to be over. Can we eat now?
It. The keepers of the temple have spoken.
Yes, they've never forgotten the fact that they were once worshipped.
Very true.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you, Jamie. This has been an enlightening conversation. I'm going to get my astrocartography down here.
Yeah,
Some
thank you so
distance.
much for having me and just letting me play with you guys. And the questions have been fantastic. And I'm here to be of service however I can. I think, Jay, just to follow up one more thing with your question about encouraging people who are striking out on their own. And that is, I stood on the beach in Virginia and I said one prayer to the universe. I said, if you want me to do this work, then show the fuck up. So invoke whatever you need to invoke.
Wow, I love that. That's super powerful. And like, talk about the step of faith, you know, just you want this? Okay, I'm in. I'm in, but you got to be in with me.
That's right. That's right.
All right,
I want to
Raymond,
thank
send us.
everybody in the chat room today. And thank you for being with us. And now Facebook just blanked out. Oh, gosh. Going to read everyone that was in there, but now I can't because my screen just went black.
Well, I know Renee, Anne, and Lori, and Quelly, and Tiffany, Laura,
Laura.
they're all joining us over there.
Yes. So thank you for being with us today. And I do want you to stay tuned because coming up next is the lovely and talented Erin Carrera for her show. And we will be back next week with another live interview. So you've been listening to 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to a changing world. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody. Bye.